There we go.
Cheers.
You're listening to The Tales We Tell, a podcast about spooky stories, unsolved mysteries, and local lore. I'm your host, Hannah Parch.
And I'm Katie.
Welcome back to my slightly smelly house.
It really, I can smell so good. I mean, if you're going to have a nose this big, you might as well be able to smell, right? It just smells like cleaning products to me.
Good.
Like, it just smells like the carpet shampoo that you used.
Good. For anyone who doesn't follow my personal Instagram, which should be none of you, I don't even think I posted it on Instagram, just on Facebook. Our Kelly Belly has had a couple little tummy issues and gave us a big old scare. And Wednesday night, we were rushing her to an emergency vet for emergency surgery that she did not end up having.
Or needing.
Yeah. So it was fine. Like, obviously, like, the $700 we paid for two sets of x-rays and two vet visits is better than, like, the $8,000 I was planning on paying. But her tummy's still a little upset, and she just has been pooping all over the house. So this Thursday, which was such good timing that you texted me and was like, I can't record Thursday. I was like, oh, that's fine. And then Wednesday, like, my house was covered in diarrhea. So it worked out well. But our studio smells like cleaning product because I shampooed part of the carpet because I don't trust myself with scrubbing. Okay, so I don't think I have any announcements except our themed drink. So I went out today specifically and purchased Jameson. And the reason is today, okay, preface. This is not, even though we are drinking whiskey, it is not a whiskey story. I promise it's not.
And by that, she means it's not like an Albert Fish.
It's not an Albert Fish.
Or the Toolbox Killers.
Ooh, yeah, that one's
bad. Yeah, it's not a heavy episode like that where we need to switch to something a little bit stronger than wine.
This is purely because of the name. Because today we're talking about the unsolved disappearance of the Jameson family.
Mm.
Not the same Jamesons as the whiskey, just completely different.
It's a close enough connection for me.
So we'll just go ahead and jump right in. I got a picture up front to show ya. So the Jameson family consists of, and I'm going to read you their full names because I like all of the name combinations.
Okay.
We've got Bobby Dale Jameson. Sherilyn Leanne Jameson. Sherilyn is spelled S-H-E-R-I-L-Y-N. And then their daughter, Madison Stormy Star Jameson.
It's like Daenerys Stormborn.
Yeah, I know. It's like, there's a lot of names going on. This is them. I personally think Madison is just like the cutest little tomboy child in the whole world.
Yeah, they look like a nice, cute family.
I assume she's a tomboy. And I picked this picture because the pictures that they put out, obviously I've already said that this is a disappearance case. The pictures they put out, for when they were looking for them, they picked Bobby and Sherilyn's, driver's license photos. So number one, they look like mugshots, which I was like, okay, now you're making it look like a criminal family. And number two, like, if I ever go missing, please, God, do not use my driver's license picture to tell people what I look like.
You have a Facebook profile photo for a reason.
Come on. And this was in 2009. So, like, you guys could have found some better pictures. I'm just saying they did them wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the Jameson family disappeared on October 8th, 2009 in Red Oak, Oklahoma, about an hour's drive away from their home in Eufaula, Oklahoma. Most of, the bulk of the information from this is from an episode of the show Disappeared by Investigation Discovery. It's season 2, episode 10, Paradise Lost. In the show, they interviewed Bobby's mom, whose name is Star.
Must be,
Where they got it, which I think is cute.
Yeah.
They also...
You gotta love family names.
I know. Also, if you got cool names, like, Stormy and Star. I mean, the I guess the car, yeah, it's gonna be like the next generation of Kardashians
or Shelton. It's also a family name, and I love it.
It's a good. Do you like it as a first name or a middle name?
I like it as a name.
Okay,
like
great.
I don't care.
See, I
I just literally when we met and he told me his name, I literally like squealed because I thought it was so cute. And you know me, I'm not really like a squealer.
You're
unless
really
it's
not.
Like a cute, like a micro pig or a really cute puppy or something.
Is that what they're called? Micro pigs? Mm-hmm. Not pygmy pigs? No. Okay.
I mean, there's lots of different names.
Miniature pig.
Yeah, mini pig. Mini pig.
For the record, I don't like the name Jarek as a baby name. I mean, just because the only way we could do it is as a first name, and it's just, meh.
I feel like it's one of those names that's, that would be hard for a small child just learning to talk to say.
Yeah. Also, he has to spell it for everyone. Mm-hmm. Ironically, I do really like the name Connor for a kid. Mm-hmm. I also really like the name Chloe for a little girl, but I'm like, I can't just pick two of his siblings when he has three.
I love the name Micah for a girl, but we obviously cannot use that one.
Why not?
Say it with my last name.
Micah Hunt? Oh, Jarek, cut that part out. Actually, Jarek, just put a crow over that one and let people figure it out.
Specifically never said my last name, so
wow.
No okay. one else will figure it out.
All right, well, that's a clue to Katie's last name. Just start adding words to...
Mike also won't work.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Man. Okay, we're already sidetracked. Okay, so...
We'll just cut all of that.
So they interviewed Bobby's mom. Mm-hmm. They also interviewed one of Sherilyn's close friends. And then they interviewed Latimer County Sheriff Israel, I want to say Beauchamp.
Is it Beauchamp?
Yeah, but that's not how he pronounced it because it's Oklahoma. So I wanted to say like Beauchamp. Nah. I think it's whatever.
So there's like... There's Beaufort, North Carolina, right. And then there's Beaufort, South Carolina, but they're both spelled exactly the same.
Yeah.
When I was in South Carolina, and I lived near Beaufort, I had the hardest time in not calling it Beaufort, because
Beaufort's the correct way.
Yeah, obviously.
Anyways, it's spelled like Beauchamp, whatever.
Beauchamp?
Beauchamp.
Or Beecham. It is pronounced in Outlander.
Yep, that's what I thought of. A side note, Sheriff Beauchamp, whatever, kind of a hottie. I almost put a picture of him in here, but, I couldn't find a good one, A, and B, the more I saw pictures of him outside of this interview, the more I was like, oh, he's probably, like, a alt-right, leaning, but he's got a lot of tattoos, and he's in, like, a sheriff's uniform, and I don't know, whatever. Okay. Bobby and Sherilyn met in 2002, and they had what some would call a whirlwind romance. He was 37, she was 34. So they were on the older end. She had already had a previous relationship.
They were ready to get married. Yeah. They were looking for someone to settle down with.
Exactly. In August of 2003, they had their daughter, Madison. And in 2004, they were married. So they had a nice little, you know, nuclear family. They hit a couple rocky patches, as sometimes happens. These were all kind of clumped together, unfortunately. So Bobby was in a car accident that left him with chronic back pain, and he was unable to work. And then also in 2007, Sherilyn's sister unexpectedly passed away from an allergic reaction to a bee sting, which is like the most innocuous way to suddenly die.
I have no idea if I'm allergic to bees or not.
Ooh, let's not find out.
I made it almost 30 years. It was literally like 2 months away from my birthday. I made it almost 30 years having never been stung by anything.
What did you get stung by?
A wasp.
Ooh.
Not allergic to those.
Oh, good. I don't think I've ever been stung by a bee now that I think of it. I've been stung by a wasp.
Everyone thought it was so weird that I've never been stung by anything. I have an agreement.
Well, I was going to say, I do find that strange given how you're...
Outdoorsy.
You're a little bit more outdoorsy than me, if, you know, some might say. Also, I have another tie-in to you in this one.
All right.
So that was in 2007. In 2008, Bobby's parents had a really bad divorce, and it left Bobby and his father having, like, a really tense and volatile relationship. And Bobby actually petitioned for a protective order against his father.
Oh, wow.
Because he said he was threatening him. He claimed that his father had tried to kill him at least twice, and he basically said that, like, him and his family were scared for their lives.
Drama, drama, drama.
I know.
So, actually, like, obviously all these are terrible, and I feel bad for the family having to go through this, but when you said rough patches, I thought, like, fights or infidelity or issues or whatever. Like, I'm sure they did get into fights because things were probably tense with him not being able to work or him being in pain. Like, I suffer chronic pain. I'm in pain all day, every day, and it gets me irritable, so, like, sure, but...
Yeah, and I mean, those, this is, I've, not to compare, but I just had like a string of just shitty things happen. Mm-hmm.
That when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
And don't we here in Eastern North Carolina know that oh so well?
Kill me, my yard is a literal pond. Yeah. But like, I get this frustration of like, okay, like life, can you just... Give me a second to, like...
Let's just have a quick breather. Like
time out. Yeah, like... So, by 2009, they were feeling this. They also, like, finances, of course, were tight now because just, of course, they would be.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a small child, a single-income family.
Yep.
And then, you know, just all this other awful things. Like, you've probably had to travel for the sister's funeral.
Yeah.
Who knows if he's able to get disability or not.
He is.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So that helps. I don't think it really takes off much burden, but it helps.
Yeah. So, Bobby and Sherilyn had decided that they were just, you know, they were like, we just need time out. Mm-hmm. So they decided, we're just going to start fresh. We're going to move. Madison is six now. Like, let's just kind of start over, clean the slate. So their plan was they were going to buy some land out in, like, the wilderness of Oklahoma and eventually build on it.
Is that our tie-in?
Yes. I have a little note here. Sound familiar, Katie? unlike you, at least I hope, you have not actually specified if you... You haven't actually explicitly said you're not going to do this. They were planning on living in a storage container that they already owned. Until they could build.
Shelton has been looking at...
storage containers?
Barn dominiums.
What is that?
It is a combination between a barn...
And a dominium?
And a condominium.
Oh, stop!
So, basically, it's like... It looks like a metal outbuilding. Like, it could just be, like, a metal barn or a metal shed. And maybe you want half of it to be and the other half to be an apartment.
Okay.
But most of these are, like, literally, like, they are two-bedroom or more, like, it's very customizable.
Yeah.
Two-bedroom houses that are, they just look like metal barns, and they're hideous, and I don't like them.
Oh, I was like, that sounds so cool. Never mind.
It is a pretty affordable option, like, compared to building, like, a traditional cabin.
Yeah.
It is definitely very affordable.
Okay.
It is just, it's not attractive.
You don't want to go up your land?
And, like, sure, this would just be, like, our vacation home until we did eventually move there permanently and, like, build a larger family home. Mm-hmm. But then we'd have to, like, sit in our beautiful family home and look out the window at our ugly barn dominium.
Yeah.
At least that's how I feel.
Well, you can always get a storage unit. So
we have talked about also, storage containers or like the, storage container houses.
Yeah. I don't think this is what they were going to do. I think they were literally just going to camp inside a storage unit, but whatever. So they found 40 acres, for sale up in Red Oak, which again was about 50 miles, give or take, from where they lived in Eufaula. So on October 8th, 2009, they packed the family truck, and the three of them drove up to the area to kind of get an idea of what the land was like. I kind of got the idea that, or the sense that maybe they were just going to go for like a weekend camping trip, just kind of, you know, explore.
Mm-hmm. Get to know the property, the area. Yeah.
And while they were up there, they asked for directions from a man who was kind of local. It was a really, I mean, it's the wilderness, so there's a couple people living here and there, but definitely not a lot. And they kind of got lost trying to find this land, so they stopped and asked. And the man that they asked was the last person to see them. No one reported them missing, which at first I thought was very shocking, but apparently it was very common for Sherilyn and Bobby to just kind of go MIA for several days. So I don't think either one of them worked. I think they both, I know Bobby got disability, and I'm not 100% sure about Sherilyn,
but she might have been a stay-at-home mom to take care of their young child.
Yeah. And they had actually recently pulled Madison out of school to start homeschooling her. So, like, no one, it's not like Madison's not showing up to things.
Yeah.
No one's reporting her absent. They don't have jobs that they're...
They're just already kind of isolated themselves. Yeah. So.
And honestly, if that was my life, you also wouldn't hear from me for several days at a time, because...
My life is nothing like that, and you often don't hear from me for several days at a time. Like, I'm just bad at texting people back. Like, if I've been on Zoom calls all damn day, like, I don't want to be texting.
But you at least have people who have seen you and can verify that you're still around. So no one really reported them missing. No one thought anything was strange until October 16th, when some hunters found their abandoned truck about a quarter mile from where they were last seen. Inside the truck, they found Bobby's wallet, Sherilyn's purse, both of their cell phones, coats for the whole family, and the family dog named Maisie. But she was alive.
Why would you?
Because I think I have a picture of her, actually.
You don't need to build up suspense when it comes to the dog. Like,
I don't have a picture of her. This is the best part of the story, is that she miraculously survived spending approximately 8 days in a truck by herself. She was obviously very malnourished, but she was alive, and she stayed alive. I don't know if she's still alive today, but she lived afterwards. They also found $32,000 in cash under the seat. Just casual.
Well, I mean, they were, like you said, they were just clean slate. So they probably did want to just, like,
however,
sell what they could and clear out, you know, and just basically bring a lot of cash with them so they could start building, maybe.
I feel like that's a...
Also, in the wilderness, there's not a lot of ATMs just sitting around.
But it also, to me, almost sounds like, we're going to go to this land, and if we like it, we give our $32,000 in cash to land person, and then land is ours.
Had they not already bought it?
No. They were just looking at it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they were going to do a, you know, cash deposit or purchase. I don't know.
The only notable thing that was missing from the car was Sherilyn's .22 caliber pistol that she usually kept in the truck. So, the GPS from their phones actually showed that sometime prior to their disappearance, they had gone up a nearby hill, like near to where the truck was.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent about 10 to 15 minutes there. And I couldn't get a clear understanding if it was like they drove up there or they walked and then returned to the truck. I don't know.
But what was the service coverage like there? Maybe they had to go up the hill to get better reception.
I don't know.
That's what we have to do at our property. There's no reception down by the creek. You have to go up top. Up top, it's perfect. You know, 4 bars, 4G.
Mm.
Just, you know, when you go down the hill.
Not so much. The investigators went up to the hill where the GPS had shown that they were. They did find footprints, including ones that would be consistent with a 6-year-old. And actually, on one of the phones that was in the truck, they found what they believe was the last picture taken of Madison, which they believe was taken on this hilltop. And that is...
Could have also just decided to get out and stretch their legs a bit.
This is true. And I don't know that this was time-stamped or anything. They just said, oh, yeah, we think that this picture of her was taken up there. So, there was no other physical evidence up in the hill, so it didn't really lead them anywhere. They had a massive search involving hundreds of people, helicopters, aircraft, and tracking dogs. All of it turned up nothing. The sheriff, what are we calling him? Beecham.
Let's call him Beecham just right. Because Outlander's fun.
There you go. So Sheriff Beecham did emphasize in this episode that the terrain was really rough and that it would be difficult anyways to do a search for people. But he also said something that I didn't think of, because one of the big theories was it's a murder-suicide or double murder-suicide. He said it's pretty easy in an area like this, it would be pretty easy to hide some bodies. But you can hide two bodies, but how are you going to hide your body after you take your own life?
Are there any good cliffs? Or is there a river nearby?
I don't think so.
You can, like, stand right there on the water's edge, do the job, fall into the water, and just get carried away.
Yeah, you can also fall the other way.
I mean, maybe you go stand in the middle of the river.
I mean, okay.
Or, well, into the water always.
Anyways, he believed it was not a murder-suicide because of how difficult... I mean, because they weren't finding any bodies anywhere. Right. And because the other thing is, if you're going to go up onto a mountain and do a murder-suicide, I mean, what's the point in trying to hide the bodies? Like,
yeah.
You typically don't hide a body unless you're planning on staying alive and not being held accountable for that body.
Exactly. And also, I mean, if you're planning on a murder-suicide... Like, why are you probably cleaning out your savings and bringing all this cash with you to be like, we're going to go start a new life? Like, maybe it's just for keeping up appearances and, you know, keeping up the act, but...
Leave that money to someone who can do some good.
Or maybe he was just planning on a double murder and, you know, him, you know, taking off into the wind with the dog and the money, but then...
Mm.
I don't know.
That's the other thing. Don't take your dog on a double murder-suicide trip.
Don't leave him locked in the car.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
leave him with a family or friend, or at least let it run free and take its chances in the wild.
So the scent dogs did alert on a nearby water tank. I couldn't figure out a good place to put this bit of information because when I said it in the documentary, I was like, the water tank. They didn't find anything.
Back to Elisa.
Yeah. Which I'm so proud of us because I've had a bunch of people who are like, have you heard of the Cecil Hotel? I was like, bitch, we did an episode on that like months ago.
There's some show or something or other that's being advertised and... You know, I like to do the little crossword puzzle online. You know, like, you know, first thing when I get to the office, before I'm ready to dive into work, get my brain juices flowing, doing a crossword puzzle, and it's ads everywhere.
Oh, gosh.
And I keep seeing the clip of Elisa in the elevator because it's being advertised and featured on some new show. I'm like, maybe I don't need to watch that.
We already
covered it.
So they drained the water tank and basically there's nothing in there. I don't know why the dogs alerted on it.
Walked up next to it. Maybe they looked around to see if they could get some water out to drink.
They were like, we're actually very thirsty. You guys have not given us a break. So the truck was left in such a way that police felt that the family had been forced to leave. Just because everything was left behind, including the dog, this didn't seem like we're going to park the car and just go out, you know, like...
Okay, that was going to be my next question slash, you know, suggestion is, like, they did go up this hill. Well, actually, no, if they went up the hill and brought their cell phones, they brought them back down. I was going to say, what if they went up the hill and got lost and just never made it back?
I think that was a theory, too, was maybe they were up here and they got lost because it's so wild.
I mean, there's no reason to believe that maybe they went up, got better service, checked the map, and were like, okay, well, we need to go check out that way, and then wandered off in the wrong way.
And they did mention that even if they had gotten lost... The weather wasn't, I think they said the low like that whole week was like 40, which is not pleasant.
We've slept in our cabin when the lows are in the 40s.
Yeah,
but it is not pleasant at all.
Well, it's not pleasant, but it's not going to kill you. You know, like it's not like it was negative 40 and they're stuck out in the wilderness. It's like you could probably survive. At least one of you if could survive
if you're dressed well enough.
Yeah, but their coats were in the car too. So let's see. Okay, so because they left everything behind, the family friend who was in the episode on Disappeared was very adamant that the picture taken of Madison was taken by a stranger. I'm going to pull it back up so you can see it again.
Seems like a weird...
Yeah, she was just like very... She was like, it looks like a forced pose and like not a real smile. And she was like, I'm positive that her parents did not take that picture. It was taken by someone she didn't know.
I mean, maybe, but I have pictures of me doing, like, weird poses.
Yeah. And,
like, if anything, it looks like she's in the middle of, like, crossing her arms and maybe saying something. Like, no, why do I have to stand here and pose?
Or she's just being a six-year-old who doesn't know how to pose for pictures. I mean, I don't know. We'll obviously post this picture and people can tell us what they think. I think she looks genuinely happy. She's freaking adorable. And she just looks like a kid who doesn't know how to cross her arms, which I think is cute. They also made a point to say that Maisie, the family dog, was actually Madison's dog. She was a little, like black and white terrier or something. She was a little dog. And they said like that was Madison's dog. Like she didn't go anywhere without that dog, and she would have thrown a fit if they had suggested leaving like her in the
security
car.
Security blanket.
Yeah. Which good for you. I appreciate people who feel that way about their pets.
Mm-hmm.
I have a point that I'll make in here later, but they do sometimes in the research that I got on this, they kind of went back and forth between, not went back and forth, but like some sources would kind of paint the family as like kind of deadbeats, like kind of white trashy, like, oh yeah, people who just leave their dog in the car. I mean, because I know people who leave their dogs in the car, you know.
I mean, I've known like the deadbeat white trash just living on government assistance, and they still treat their dogs like family.
Yeah.
I know people who are very well-to-do, and you'd think, oh, what a lovely family. Never bring their dogs inside. Yeah. Like,
ugh, people like that should be forced to live outside. But a lot of not testimony, but a lot of things that, like, friends and family said made it clear, like, they were a very loving family. It was like Madison was, like, the world to them. They both were just, you know, adored her. She adored this dog. You know, like, they were a very close-knit family. They weren't the kind of family that would just...
Essentially, you know. If they're leaving the dog in the truck, Madison knows that they're only going to be away for a few minutes.
Yes.
Like, maybe it was, we're going to pull over here and go pee in the woods.
Yeah. Or they were forced out of the truck and they were forced to leave everything.
Yep.
So there's some strange clues that come up. The first one is investigators found in the truck an 11-page letter that had been written by Sherilyn to Bobby, which I'm just going to say, anytime you're writing your spouse a letter, you probably big mad at them.
Or you're separated by states.
Okay, yes. Or you're, you know, but typically...
I had to spend a month in New Orleans a couple years ago, help my dad out after his hip surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And so I brought a whole bunch of stationery, and I wrote Sheldon a card or a letter every day.
Aww.
And mailed it to him.
That's sweet. Well, this 11-page letter was not that. It was...
No, didn't sound like it.
They called it, instead of a love letter, they called it a rage letter or a hate letter. So it was... She was accusing him...
Like a manifesto.
Yeah. Which is a strange thing to keep in your car, but okay. So she accused him in the letter of being a loner who didn't want a family or didn't need a family and just wanted to be by himself. There are parts where she's contemplating divorce, and it's just a really, like, a letter you write after you've had a big fight and you're, like, in that calm, that, like, dangerous calm where you're like, I'm gonna sit down and put all my thoughts on paper.
I need to purge this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
It also sounds like this is just a letter, like, she's frustrated that, like, maybe he's one of those people that, like, generally does not want to be on disability. Like, he would mm-hmm. much rather work, but, like, he really can't, and it's put him into a depression, and that's what's yeah. making him, you know, behave like a loner who right. doesn't want a family, because now, you know, he is supposed to be the breadwinner and provide mm-hmm. and take care of his family, and now he can't, and yeah. they have to take care of him, and, yeah. you know, like, that can be really, really hard on a person.
Yeah, and depression makes you, like, not want to accept help from people. Yep. So it really just kind of mixes the pot on both ends. It
makes you want to be alone.
Yep. And then, but then you're sad when you're alone. It's a whole thing. So, in addition to this, it turns out that the Jamesons were in a bit more financial trouble than they had kind of let on. Sherilyn had a son from a previous marriage that just, like, randomly shows up in this story out of nowhere. His name was Colton. I have no idea how old he was. I saw a picture where he was, like, maybe 9 or 10, or, but then, I don't know. But then, like, in that picture, Madison was a baby, so I'm like, maybe he's, like, 15 or 16. I have no idea where he showed up in this equation, but apparently he had been living with them, and then right before they disappeared, he had gone to live with his father, which meant that Sherilyn would no longer be receiving child support checks. In theory, if you're not supporting that child, you don't need the checks, but we all know that that's not how the system works.
Go ahead. I've got questions. You might address them, but okay. Essentially it's the why. I mean, was he living there the whole time when she and her husband got married? Like,
I think so. They made it sound like she had custody of him up until...
Was it like they were just having problems getting along, or he wasn't, you know...
Yeah.
Maybe he was having trouble and needed some more father figure discipline or whatever.
Yeah, it didn't really get into that, and I know that there's a lot of reasons why kids can be mm-hmm. moved back and forth, and I also know that in those situations, a lot of times if the parents aren't on good terms, they're painting the other parent, you know, to be yeah. a bad parent, when in reality it might have just been this father wanted custody and went to a judge and said, hey, I have a job, they don't, give me my son, and a judge was like, okay.
Another question, too, is what was their living conditions like? I mean, did they have, like, you know, electricity, running water, heat,
yes.
decent living conditions?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They actually did live in a pretty nice, I think it was a lakefront house, and they had security cameras on their property, which will come up later, but they got those because of the situation with Bobby's father. His mom was actually, like, so worried for them that she got them security cameras for their property so that, you know, if something were to happen, they would be aware of it.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, Sherilyn's mom also said that she had overheard one time when she was at the house, she overheard Bobby telling Sherilyn that he had a way to get more money for them, but he didn't want to involve her in it. And
that's shady.
A little bit. It could have just been like, I'm gonna take on a job, like a delivery job, and I don't want you involved in it, or I don't know.
Nope.
Probably not, but.
No, if someone's saying, I don't want you involved in it, that means that it is shady.
You gotta look the other way.
And not exactly legal.
Don't ask.
And he wants her to have plausible deniability.
Yeah, that's probably true. So they had recently taken in a boarder, whose name is Kenneth, Bellows. Mm-hmm. And primarily Kenneth was there to help because Bobby was limited in what he could do physically. He was there to kind of help, maintain the property. Which again, they did kind of have like a...
Clean out the gutters.
Yeah. And they kind of made it sound like they had this,
do the lawn.
They lived on the lake. Maybe they had a dock, you know, all sorts of stuff.
As you now know, a home ownership just means never-ending project list.
What?
Never-ending
repairs,
upgrades, huh? Projects, etc.
What? So, I don't know what you're talking about. We definitely didn't just replace our sink faucet because our original one started leaking out of nowhere. That hasn't happened. And Our washer doesn't work, and
you're always either fixing something that needs to be fixed or changing something that you choose to change.
Yeah, we're still in the fixing phase.
Oh, but I'm sure you have a project list, a wish list.
I forgot I need this.
So yeah, having a border there, like a basically like kind of like a live-in handyman sort of a thing, but like. Ultimately, he pays you rent, but like a discounted rent because he's also
helping.
So like you're not paying him for his handyman services.
Yeah,
but you're also not making a lot on rent. Whatever.
Well, Kenneth turned out to be kind of a.
Is he a shady type?
He's a little shady in that one day when he was alone with Sherilyn and Madison, he told Sherilyn that he was a white supremacist.
Okay.
And he believed anyone who wasn't, quote, pure white should be killed. You know, just the regular Aryan stuff.
Absolutely the kind of influence you want around your impressionable daughter.
And Sherilyn, this was all after Sherilyn had been openly talking about her American Indian heritage. And she was rightfully, like... Excuse me. And I actually kind of love this anecdote. Apparently she went and got her pistol, put it to Kenneth's back, and forced him out of the house. And was like, you can get the fuck off my property. And I guess he gave her a little pushback. And so she shot at his feet to scare him away. But it worked. He didn't come back. And I'm like... That's kind of badass. That's the one time I am going to advocate for, like, using a gun in a threatening manner. If you have a racist, like, a literal white supremacist in your house who won't leave, definitely go get your pistol and give him a couple little scare...
Make him dance.
Yeah, make him dance a little bit until he leaves. Especially when your daughter's there. Come on.
Okay, so Kenny leaves and doesn't come back.
Yes.
Obviously, he's a disgruntled person who could be a person of interest. Mm-hmm. Also, being a white supremacist and knowing that she's got Native American heritage.
I'm sure he had no ill will.
Yeah, I'm sure he was definitely a person of interest. But also, like, was he kind of a, other than being a douche nozzle, was he kind of a shitty person? So I'm trying to think of, like...
Bobby's saying,
I've found a way to get some more money, but I don't want you to be involved in it. Was it something that Kenny brought to his attention and introduced him to? Or was it something that kind of involved Kenny? Like, he and a buddy might, like, I don't know, pretend to, like, fake kidnap him
Rob a bank so that you could keep the deposit that you got from your job?
I don't know. Like, I was just thinking, like, okay, well, because you said the thing about... I found some more money or a way to make more money, but I don't want you involved in it. Okay, obviously, probably illegal things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you immediately said something about having a border. And I'm like, okay, well, either this person is bringing and introducing the option or is the opportunity.
Mm. Well, as far as I know, Kenny was cleared of any kind of suspicion. The FBI actually tracked him down. Later.
He's probably one of those, like, all talk, you know.
He's probably already on an FBI watch list because of his, you know, political leanings. What am I saying? No, he's not. The FBI doesn't care about white supremacy. Fine people. He was probably, whatever.
He's probably just one of those all talk goons that, like, loves to wear the tattooed swastikas and shave their heads and be all, like, white is right or whatever.
But
when push comes to shove, when a woman is... what kind of pistol was it? It was a small. It was a 50 22?
Or... Oh, shoot. Whatever.
Anyway.
22.
Yeah.
I'm about to say 55. I'm like, I don't think that's a thing.
No, not an option.
22.
So... I mean, not like a pea shooter, probably, but
still.
Also, not like a magnum or anything like that, or not a shotgun.
Like, I really like to think that old Kenneth showed up at the Capitol Hill.
I'm sure he was there.
Situation.
He was probably there in Charlottesville too.
Probably, and I hope he's in jail now. So separate from this, my next point. is Sherilyn had been previously diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and she struggled with taking her medication regularly, which is very common. Bipolar disorder is one of those things where sometimes you feel really good and sometimes you feel very manic and or depressed. And in the times when you're feeling really good, it's very easy to think, oh, I don't need this medication. I feel great. And that, you know, and that's with a lot of, you know, mental illnesses.
There's an interesting show on Netflix. I think it's called Spinning Out.
Ooh. It's about
figure skating and bipolar disorder.
A lot of good Netflix shows out right now.
Also, now that you mentioned that she's bipolar, I mean, is it like a known and well documented that Kenny is very much so a white supremacist, or is it that, you know, maybe he made a few comments that she heard
and misinterpreted
and heard her own way and you know, absorbed differently?
I don't know. Because of all the shit that I've already said about Kenny, I'm going to say he's definitely a white supremacist. But I don't know. The fact that she had bipolar disorder kind of came up, and I don't know that it necessarily...
I think it's more likely that, yes, he is,
in
fact, a very loud-mouthed white supremacist, and probably did.
He wasn't one of those soft-spoken white supremacists that, you know, or just kind of put their two cents in very... You know,
that
respectfully.
Are, you know, like, oh, I don't know, Senate minority leaders. Congressmen.
I hate everything right now.
I'm not gonna mention the lizard man's name, or the turtle man.
The turtle man.
I always said he looked like a lizard, but now everybody says he looks like a turtle.
He's got that kind of wrinkly neck that you feel like he can just kind of. Just turtle himself into
the waggly jowls. All right, back to our story. So she had bipolar, wasn't responsible with taking her meds.
Yeah. There's also speculation that Bobby and Sherilyn, some people had described them as scammers. And the only things that I saw about this were Bobby was suing three people over a car accident. I believe it was a different car accident than the one that injured him. But if you're in a car accident and, like, they did you wrong and no one's doing anything about it, then, like, sometimes you have to sue those people. Okay. So those were the strange clues. These are the stranger clues.
Bring it on. Stranger Things?
No stranger clues. It's a crossover.
Coming soon to Netflix.
It's a crossover between the game Clue and Stranger Things. Okay, so Sherilyn and Bobby had recently been meeting with Pastor Gary Brandon, a local pastor, about spirits that were in their house. Sherilyn claimed that there were angels who would enter their home in the form of children that Madison would talk to, and Bobby claimed that there were 3 to 4 spirits that he had seen on the roof, which...
Bobby taking pain medication for his back problems?
I don't think so. I get really creeped out by things on your roof, and I think it stemmed from watching, like, movies about aliens where the aliens are on the roof. I'm like...
Or the owls. The metallic owls.
The metallic owl. The Furbies with...
You still need to send me that picture.
Oh, yeah. I will. So he was really... Sherilyn didn't seem that freaked out about it, but Bobby was, like, really concerned and thought that the house was haunted and these spirits were on the roof. He went so far...
Sure Bobby's not taking the oxy
from his pretty sure. He asked Pastor Brandon if there was a specific kind of bullet that he could buy to kill them. Which, to be fair...
Exorcism bullets.
Just put rock salt in your shotgun shells like the Winchesters do. Like,
Bobby.
So, I mean, yes, there is. It's called rock salt in shotgun shells. Mm-hmm. Watch any...
And holy water in squirt guns.
Yeah. Watch literally any episode of Supernatural.
Also, iron.
Oh, there you go.
Because... It was funny, there's a post about, like, here's all the, like, a collection of suggestions that, you know, people have for, supernatural. One of them was rock salt in shotguns.
Yes.
Another one was like iron rings, rings on your hand so you could just punch the ghost.
That's smart.
Holy water in, water guns. And exorcisms on like a tape recorder.
Ooh, that's smart.
And with the exception of the iron rings.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, like, the writers saw, like, mm-hmm. the fans talking about online.
Yeah.
And they included into the show, there is a character that literally does fill, like, those fun, like, Nerf water guns.
Yeah.
Full of holy water.
Oh, my gosh.
They do have the little, like, exorcisms recorded. Nice. Of course, there's the rock salt and the shotgun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get some Latin.
I'm not fully caught up, so maybe the rings of iron to punch ghosts in the face does make an appearance eventually, but I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. So, Sherilyn also had an interest in the occult and would apparently joke about being a witch. She had bought a satanic Bible, quote, as a joke, but Bobby apparently admitted to Pastor Brandon that he had read some of it. I don't know why that was necessarily relevant.
Did they read the book by What's-Her-Face and the doctor that she married?
Oh, my gosh. Michelle remembers.
Yeah. Did she read that? Or maybe she saw her on Oprah and was like, oh, look, all this attention she's getting. I bet if we say we have ghosts and spirits, maybe we'll get some attention. And, you know, like, there's got to be money in this somehow, right?
Well, it backfired. She had spray painted, so remember their storage unit they're going to move into?
Mm-hmm.
So she spray painted on the outside, quote, three cats killed to date by people in this area. Witches don't like their black cats killed. That's a picture of the, with a huge watermark on it. So she, I guess, thought someone was poisoning her cats.
She also needs to go back to school for her grammar.
Yeah, she spelled the word by wrong.
They are. they're homeschooling their daughter. Oof.
Yeah.
There's no hope for her.
She also, so this is the picture of the back of the storage unit. From what I can tell, we've got a couple different phrases. It looks like one says, only God can judge you, maybe. One says gossip is a sin. One says we know who you something. I can't read. And then may God bless your something or another.
It looks like, yeah.
Like, it's not very clear. My thing is, if you're going to.
It looks like we know who you are.
Yeah. But
or
like.
Your.
If you're going to graffiti your own property as a way of like.
I have no idea what the purpose was.
I just, like, just do it in a clearer fashion. Like, these are hard to decipher. So, and her friend had said...
I'm gonna ask you again. Is she and Bobby not taking the payments?
Okay, we'll get to that. There's another theory. And her friend said that she joked about being a witch in a way... She basically said, like, if you want people to leave you alone, make them think you're crazy. And so she kind of gave off this vibe of, like,
she's
just...
So, in a way, she is kind of crazy.
But she,
like,
also...
I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just the times of mania, especially if people aren't aware that you have bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. If you're going through a period of mania...
Mm-hmm.
You look insane.
But this is also, this could be her way of trying to get people to just leave her alone. I mean, she might have just been like, I'm frustrated. My cats are ending up dead. I at one point thought my landlords had listening devices in our house. Like, and I am not bipolar. I just have anxiety that, you know, makes you think crazy shit sometimes if you're stressed out. And this might have been what to her seemed like a very rational way of reacting to it and getting people to leave her alone.
I mean, I'm not saying it's irrational, honestly.
I mean, we're not saying it is rational, but it's not. There are explanations out there that make sense.
Yeah, no, like if you want to be left alone, like, you know, being a kid and having to do like projects for school or church or whatever, you have to go knock on people's doors.
Ugh.
If there's a real, like, scary looking place,
oh, yeah,
you skip that house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes when we've got, like, the door-to-door evangelists come and knock at the door, and I literally hide in my house instead of answering the door. It would be nice to have, like, a scary-looking front door or front yard so that they just wouldn't even bother me.
Unfortunately, you have the world's friendliest door greeter.
Both of them.
Who doesn't bark or let anyone know that you've entered the house. They're just like, oh my gosh, you're here.
Olive barks if somebody walks to the door and, like, it startles her.
Uh-huh.
Boo!
Every time I've been to your house,
Jory's just
super excited.
He woos.
I feel like I have to tell him, I'm like, go tell people we're here, because I know everyone's in the kitchen and I don't want to startle anyone. Like, go tell your mom.
They always do, like, run back to the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, people are here! And then they run back to the door to...
They're like the little heralds that, like, announce people. Sorry, I'm watching a lot of Bridgerton right now. Mm-hmm. But they're the people who would, like...
Never apologize for Bridgerton.
Come into the room and, like, Lady Hannah is here! Oh my gosh. Okay, let me tell you more about the other...
Stranger clues.
Okay, besides the weird graffiti. So remember I told you they had security cameras outside their home. So they looked at the footage from the night before they left where they were packing their truck.
Uh-huh.
And they were described as almost acting like they were in a trance. Sheriff Beecham estimated he was like... They made an absurd amount of trips back and forth. Like, if you're packing your truck, typically you might make, I don't know, 3 or 4 trips.
Well, you said, too, they were just going up to, like, check the place out, but they were coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like they're loading up their truck with, like, they're planning to move.
Yeah, yeah. But he said at least each of them probably made around 20 trips to and from the house. They didn't acknowledge each other at all. They were just kind of walking past each other, like, kind of dead-eyed.
Well, she did have that 11-page rage letter. Like, maybe she was silent-treating his ass.
Well, he had someone, Sheriff Beecham had someone analyze the tape. He had a psychiatrist analyze it.
Mm-hmm.
And the psychologist... or whoever, whatever, psychologist, said that the behavior they were showing was very consistent with people who were on drugs. And Sheriff Beecham said, well, in this area, if you're on drugs, it's probably meth. And so they did, well, I'll get back to that part. In addition to this, like, weird video of them, people said in the days leading up to their disappearance that Sherilyn and Bobby were starting to look emaciated.
Hmm.
Some people claim that they had started carrying large amounts of cash on them, which I don't know how that comes up randomly unless you're, like, the cookout and they're like, I'll pay for it. Can you break a $500 bill?
Or they just go into their bag to get something and you see there's just, like, a wad of cash.
Yeah.
And then you're like, nobody carries around, like, rolls of cash.
That's true.
Or maybe, you know, Bobby pulls out his wallet at, you know, the gas pump or something. Mm-hmm. And you see that it is just overflowing with bills.
Yeah. So, Sherilyn's son, Colton, the one that we don't know anything about,
mm-hmm.
he also had no idea that they were planning on moving. So, he, like, went to live with his dad, and they had, like, Sherilyn and Bobby hadn't said anything to him about them planning on starting over and, like, buying land.
Hmm. I mean, where in, like, the timeline did he move back to his dad's house and then they go
I want to say it was, like, very close to when they disappeared, like, within a week or two.
Oh, wow. So, like, he had just left and then they were like, all right, well, let's go.
Yeah, and they were like, we're going to buy some land.
I mean, maybe they were going to, like, spring it on him kind of a thing because he probably was, like you said, a teenager or, like, a younger kid, but, like, old enough to have friends and connections at school and whatnot. And so he'd probably, like, pitch a fit and, you know.
I
mean,
I would pitch a fit if my husband was like, we're going to go live in a storage unit. Like,
yeah.
You're going to go live in a storage unit.
You tell a teenager, oh, we're ripping you away from your friends and your school and everything that you know and are comfortable with to go live in the woods.
Yeah.
They're not probably going to take it very well.
Probably not.
So it could be that, like, they had planned and intended mm-hmm. for him to come with them, but they just wanted to avoid the outburst and the drama.
Yeah, that's true. So police look into all of this. They followed up on, like, every lead that they had. So, like I said, they investigated Kenneth Bellows. He turned out to not pan out as a suspect. They couldn't find any evidence of drugs, whether it was in the home or in the car. They didn't know anyone who, like, thought that Bobby and Sherilyn were doing drugs. Like I said, some of these sources made it sound like, I mean, the first time I saw the pictures and, you know, started reading about it, and I was like, oh yeah, these kind of look like mugshots. Maybe they've been in trouble with the law, and, you know, maybe drugs were involved. But then you find out, no, these are just their driver's license pictures. And, I mean, if someone told me, like, if you and Sheldon disappeared and someone was like, they were on drugs, I'd be like, I'm pretty sure they weren't. I mean, I'm pretty sure they were on some because your husband is a pharmacist, but, like, I'm pretty sure they weren't on illegal drugs.
We are not taking any... illegal drugs or prescription drugs that we do not have a prescription for.
Ah, that's good. A valid prescription from a doctor. Not the pharmacist prescription, you know?
Yeah, no, if somebody tries to say it was, if we disappear and it's drug related, you just laugh at them and say, you better go recheck. Go relook at, like, that evidence.
Damn it, someone killed them. They investigated Bobby's father because he, you know, was not super...
I mean, if he's got a protective order mm-hmm. against him and they've got friggin' security cameras and...
Yeah. Yeah. He, I think, had an alibi. I think he was actually sick at the time that they disappeared.
Because I was going to ask that earlier on, but I'm like, she'll get there.
Yeah. And apparently just, like, everything was a dead end. Sheriff Beecham said, usually in a case like this, you're able to rule out a number of scenarios. And in this case, there just wasn't enough evidence to rule out a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So the police believe that Sherry and Bobolin...
Bobolin.
Sherilyn and Bobby. And Madison. The police believe that they didn't disappear on their own. They believe that at some point they were forced out of their truck, probably at gunpoint, and that whatever happened, it was premeditated because you are not just going to randomly come upon a family that happens to have a large amount of cash on them out in the areas that they were in. Like, that part of Oklahoma, it was like... You have to know someone's out there.
They were lured out there. Them.
Yeah. Or someone knew that where they were going to be.
So the guy they asked for directions from or the person they were buying the land from? Mm.
I actually don't have a lot of guesses or theories about this. Sheriff Beecham actually quit his job over this case. Like, he felt so guilty that he wasn't able to solve it, that he eventually quit.
Well, also, okay, I want to back up a little bit, too. So, there's the truck,
mm-hmm.
and they have the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They alerted on a water tank, but did they alert for, like, any kind of a trail? I mean, it had only been about, like, 8 days, mm-hmm. and unless there'd been just, like, a torrential downpour or four... Mm-hmm. There should still be some sort of, like, if they were able to hit on the water tank, there should be some sort of trail. Was there?
I don't think so.
So, it's not likely that they probably, like, got out and, like, wandered around.
Yeah.
It
might have been likely.
I'm thinking that they were likely forced out of their truck into another vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. And it says that they used... like, items from the truck
mm-hmm.
as, like, you know, scent, like, reference points or whatever for the dogs.
Yeah, but that every time your scent fades, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's how dogs essentially tell time.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. well, also, there's another dog in the truck. I feel like doggos get distracted, even if they're good working dogs. Okay. So, on November 16th, 2013, some hunters came across some stuff in the woods. And it was partial skeletal remains of three people. DNA evidence confirmed that it was Bobby, Sherilyn, and Madison. And they were found just 2.7 miles from their last known location.
So maybe they did get out and take a little walk and then get lost.
But they searched that whole area and they didn't find anything. And
So maybe they were murdered and buried, and it was uncovered.
I don't know if they were in the area or placed there after they searched. So they couldn't, because they had been deceased in nature for a while. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're only getting partial skeletal remains, so you don't even have full bodies.
I mean, were they able to even guesstimate, or at least guesstimate how long the remains had been out there?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, you're not really going to be able to, you know, get, like, a time of death, but you can at least guesstimate the likelihood of how long the remains have been out.
I mean, it almost
being discovered.
It almost made it sound like that was irrelevant because they'd been out there long enough to be picked apart by animals. They said that they couldn't even determine cause of death because there just wasn't any evidence. But they did say that they did not see any evidence of trauma in what they could find because I think the skulls were there.
Mm-hmm.
And
so not beat over the head and not shot in the head.
Yeah. And they didn't have any explanation as to how the search party missed the bodies. Only that, in my head, the only explanation is that they weren't there when the search party was happening.
Maybe they were hung up in the trees.
Oh, stop! Why?
And so they were searching, but they never looked up.
What? Drink your whiskey, Katie.
I have been, and I think that's the problem.
Oh, no. That's the worst. I should have thought of some better theories. My only theory is, like, they weren't there.
Yeah, no, I think the more likely is that their remains were placed there.
Yeah.
After the search. Gosh. And that would mean that whoever took them,
mm-hmm.
Held them.
Ugh.
Either held them alive for a few days.
Ugh, that's worse.
Or, I think holding them alive is better than killing them and then holding on to their corpses for a few days until they knew the search would be over.
But not better for them.
No, not necessarily better for them. I'm just thinking in general, like, it's one thing to be like, oh, you know, they kidnapped them and then killed them.
Yeah.
It's another thing to be like, oh, they kidnapped them, killed them, and then held on to their decomposing corpses for several days to potentially several weeks until they knew that the search area was clear.
My question is, if they were abducted and forced out of their car, why, unless it was just like a very quick thing and the abductors didn't search the car,
so
you left $32,000 behind.
It likely wasn't robbery, so it was either...
Even if the motive wasn't robbery, though, if you kill someone and they happen to have a large amount of money on them, you'd probably still take it.
Well, I mean, also, if it's someone's pulling you and your family out at gunpoint,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, obviously you're probably going to be begging for your life and your family's life, it's going to be like, look, do you want money? We have money.
Look under my seat.
Yeah, the money is here in the truck. Take it. Just let us go.
Yeah.
Or at least let my wife and daughter go.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's going to be bargaining and negotiating. And the fact that that money was there untouched,
mm-hmm.
It seems very unlikely that... I think it's more likely that whoever took them probably knew them.
Yeah. And wanted to kill them.
And, like, it was more of, like, a for revenge or whatever reason they had, as opposed to, or I'd like to think it was someone that knew them, as opposed to someone who just wanted the sick thrill of killing them.
Okay. Well, you've also made me now imagine bodies strung up in the trees.
I mean, I'm just saying, next time you go hiking, you know, look up every now and then. This is
why I don't go hiking. Katie wonders why I hate nature. That's why I don't
go jogging. Because joggers always find the dead bodies, or are the dead bodies.
Ooh, this is true. I do have a happy note to end on, and I promise it's a real happy note. Maisie, the dog, was adopted by Bobby's mom.
Oh, that's good.
So she didn't go to a shelter or anything. She got to be kept in the family. No one knows what happened to the Jamesons, how they ended up in the woods, how they died. It's a huge mystery.
I mean, what's some follow-up? Like, obviously they interviewed the guy that they stopped and asked directions from.
Mm-hmm.
Was there no follow-up there once they realized that he was the last person to see them alive to get, like, a little bit more information? Like, did they seem, you know, like they were scared? Or did you see anybody else come by and ask you for directions? Or
I think they said, I want to say that he said, like, there wasn't really anything remarkable. They chatted maybe about the weather. And I think Bobby was maybe asking, you know, like, oh, do you live around here? Like, how hard is it? Maybe, you know, like, how hard is it to get a septic tank put in? Or asking, like, logistical questions about living in that part of the land. To my knowledge, he did not mention seeing anyone else after that, because I'm sure they interviewed him extensively.
Especially once they found out that, like, if he was the last person to see and speak to them alive, then, yeah, you want to go back and get every little detail you can. Were there any other potential persons of interest in it? Like, so obviously it was just considered a missing persons case.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they found the remains and, yeah, it was, like, idea that these people were no longer missing, they were deceased.
Mm-hmm.
I know you said there was no, from what remains they had, they were not able to determine a cause of death.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that means also they probably weren't able to determine a manner of death.
Right.
Whether it was, I guess it's all, like, undetermined.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause of death, undetermined.
Yeah.
Manner of death, undetermined.
Well, I think when...
Did they just stop investigating after they found the remains?
I think so, because I think when they were investigating, they were looking at it as a, like a violent crime. Because the police believed, you know, of what evidence we do have, we think they were forced... And we think that whoever did it had, like, malicious intent or premeditated or planned it out ahead of time. So I think they were approaching it as who knows these people who could have it out for them, which is why they followed up on Kenneth and on Bobby's father. And I think it just kind of became a cold case after they followed up on everything. And then it was like they found the bodies and they were almost able to just close the case because the bodies didn't give them any new evidence.
They were able to close the missing persons case because they're no longer missing.
Right.
But I guess, like you said, there's not enough evidence with the remains to open up a homicide case. Or
because they couldn't determine the manner of death.
It could have been an accident. Like, it really could have been.
Yeah.
They got lost, got, you know, wandered off. And maybe they were out wandering around, and that's why they weren't found in the search grid.
Yeah.
And then they maybe have, like, looped back after the search was over and then died.
Yeah.
Or maybe they died somewhere else and all of their remains got carried back by scavengers.
Or aliens. Or spirits. Or witches. Or cats.
Definitely cats.
Probably definitely cats.
I just... There's so many red herrings in here, too.
I know!
There's the, like, the occult red herring. Mm-hmm. There's the white supremacist border red herring. There's the,
just, like,
carrying around wads of cash looking emaciated. Like, if there's no real evidence of drug use.
Yeah. Well, it did kind of remind me of the Elisa Lam case because she was filmed looking or acting
like she was on drugs.
Very strange. Yeah. And acting, having these, you know, unexplained actions and movements and behaviors right before she mysteriously ended up dead. And it's like, well, with hers, it's like, yeah, it could have been a suicide or it could have been murder. But there's not really enough evidence to determine which one. And all we know is that she was acting really weird right beforehand. And if that's, we don't even know if that's related or not. So it's like, all of these other things, like them looking emaciated, could have just been stress.
I was going to say stress. Yeah. Also, I'm thinking, you know, maybe they weren't doing drugs, but maybe they were selling drugs.
Right. Yeah. And, like, the ghost could have just been regular house ghosts and, like, had nothing to do with it.
Could have just been regular house creaks and squeaks.
Or owls, as we have determined. Anyways, that's all I have for that. It's an it's a true unsolved mystery with a little bit of spooky and a little bit of conspiracy thrown in there. Yeah.
God, it's just, like I said, there's so many red herrings that, like, I have so many questions, but I know there's no answers to any of them.
Yep.
And so now I'm just frustrated.
Well, if you have a theory...
Yeah, we want to hear what you're thinking.
Yeah, because I obviously have zero theories. Katie has one really gruesome one that I don't like.
I have a couple.
Okay, well, I didn't like the one that you talked about.
I mean, that was just... That was a theory as to why their bodies weren't found during the search. Mm-hmm. My other thought is that they were placed there after the search.
I don't like either of those. Which also
makes me think... I wonder if someone in the local law enforcement knew more than they were saying, because, like, you know, how else would they know that the search would, like, they'd called off the search?
Yeah.
And so it was safe to go put the bodies back there.
I don't know. But yeah. Let us know. Follow us on Instagram at...
The Tales We Tell Podcast.
Thank you. We also have a website called...
TheTalesWeTellPodcast.com.
Perfect. We also have new business cards, which I'm really proud of. They have like
a watermark.
It's like a wine stain on the front, but it could also maybe be a blood stain, depending on...
It's a little bit more purpley pink than...
I've had people tell me they think it looks like a blood stain, and I'm like, it's whatever you want it to be.
I think if we put some more brown in there, I would definitely go for blood stain.
Okay, I didn't have that option. We got them on Vistaprint. Also, I have a TikTok that I am using for the podcast. Every Wednesday, I am posting like a little trailer for the episode. You can find me at Hannah_Parch, which is PARTSCH. If you forget, just add all the consonants at the end. Also, I just want to say, because we had like one, we'll get like random people liking these videos about the podcast. And then one girl who commented, which I do need to correct because it was a correction, about last week's episode, the Amityville hauntings. I mistakenly said in the video that the latest or the last Amityville movie starred Ryan Reynolds. And what I should have said is the last blockbuster Amityville movie that I watched.
That's the only one I saw.
Stars Ryan Reynolds. She was like, actually, the latest one stars Bella Thorne. I was like, okay, well, my bad.
I don't know who that is.
She's like a Gen
Hey, man, X-er. I am a side part millennial. Thank you.
I just ordered two pairs of skinny jeans online.
Gen Z can have my side part when they pry it off of my cold, dead scalp.
Same.
After I fall out of the trees where my body is obviously placed.
Anyways, friendly reminder that interacting with our social media does help us. And we also love thanking and rewarding people for helping us.
Hey, and if we're wrong, tell us.
Oh, yeah. Like, correct anything, please.
We are a fact-based podcast as well as a conspiracy theory and wild, gruesome,
we try to be fact-based.
Gross out theory. But no, like the... the research and the evidence, like the story that we present is based in fact-based research.
Yes.
And we just like to have fun with it, but we do want to be correct in what we're saying, so.
Yes. So please comment, like, you know, share. If you want a sticker, just tell us you want a sticker, man. We'll mail those suckers out. I'll send you a whole bunch of business cards. If you have a local coffee shop that wants to put our business cards out there, I'll mail you a bunch. I just got 500 of them. So we just appreciate all the support. We realize none of you guys know us from Adam or from Eve or Cheryl, Bobby Lynn.
Cheryl
and Bobby Lynn.
Cheryl Bobolin.
Yeah.
But no, we do have our regulars who interact with us
we
on
do.
Instagram. And, like, I don't know, I feel like I know them. I love hearing
I do too.
From them, so.
But, yeah, but we appreciate it. And I feel like I was going to say something else as, like, a call out, and I don't remember. Oh, I remember. Because I needed someone to do this for me this week because I've had a shitty week. I'm not going to do like a high of your week, but what is something that you are looking forward to doing either today or in the next few days? Katie.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
today or in the next few days. I am looking forward to learning how to spin yarn.
Ooh.
So as you know, I've love knitting now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start spinning and hand dyeing my own yarn.
Ooh,
so my sister-in-law got me a drop spindle for Christmas.
Okay.
And she was also pregnant, so I just finished knitting her baby blanket. And have you ever seen Once Upon a Time, the TV show?
I've seen like a couple seasons. I haven't seen all of it.
Oh, you know the baby blanket that Emma has?
Mm-hmm.
It's white and it has her name stitched into
uh-huh.
it in purple.
Uh-huh.
I did a like cream white baby blanket.
Aww.
And I'm going to take the yarn that I spin from
uh-huh.
what she got me for Christmas, and I'm going to stitch Emma into the blanket because Emma's also going to be
oh,
her baby's name.
Oh, so sweet.
So I'm excited to learn how to do that.
That's
I always,
awesome.
Always love learning new skills and crafts.
Great.
What about you?
I'm going to lower the bar a little bit. Mine is, I have an unopened bottle of Pinot Grigio in my
Ooh.
Fridge that I had gotten for wine club and then couldn't partake in because my dog, you know, wanted to scare us all and take up our evening. And I also have half a bag of Doritos.
Mm.
I'm going to wait for my husband to go to bed tonight, and then I'm going to pour a glass of wine and eat some chips.
Wine and secret snacks? Definitely.
My favorite.
Definitely something
yeah.
I also look forward to.
Yep. And I'm going to watch some more Bridgerton because I'm only like 4 episodes in. And
you
I'm
just, this is your first time watching?
Yes.
Wow.
And I went in skeptical. I was like, psh.
No,
psh.
You should have asked me. I would have told you how much you'll love it.
I'm having all sorts of feelings for
mm-hmm.
Simon and also for Penelope and for Eloise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, oh my gosh. So,
watch it. Also,
we are not sponsored by...
A reminder to stay tuned, because in the next couple of weeks is when we're going to be starting our one-year anniversary celebrations.
Yes!
So, actually, it's less than 1 month from today.
Yep.
Is our one-year anniversary.
So, we should probably start with our,
So,
build-up.
If you're hearing this on the day of release,
check our Instagram. We'll probably have some
it'll
stuff
be
out.
Like 2 weeks, 3 weeks from the day of release of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, because it's 2 weeks into, it's like the second week of March.
Yeah, and so like the whole week of,
yeah.
We'll be doing fun little
fun stuff.
Bits and pieces.
Yep. Yeah. Also, if you're a young person and who knows how to do TikTok stuff, send me a message on Instagram, please. And I need help. anyways... Thanks for listening.
I think that's enough from us today.
I know. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.